This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I know it was very disappointing to lose Barry Odom, and it was, you know, but to replace him with a guy like Dan Mullen, I mean, that is as good as you could hope to do at UNLV, in
really
my
nice.
Opinion.
When somebody leaves, always go bigger.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Mullen did a good job, obviously, a great job at Mississippi State.
Yeah.
We can argue over the results at Florida, although you look back at them.
Mm-hmm.
Check it.
They look pretty damn good.
I would say so.
Compared to what it's been, compared to what that program has been.
Yep.
And obviously the expectations at UNLV, much different than the expectations at Florida. So, look, there's two hires here, right? I guess that's where we could start today. There's two hires that have been made in college football. I love the college football coaching carousel because...
I guess Rich Rod's in there too, right?
Oh, yeah, Rich Rod. I guess there's three. Yeah, we can get into that. Ren Baker makes his first big hire up there in the mountains.
Yeah.
But UNLV hires ESPN analyst, former Florida coach, former Mississippi State coach, Dan Mullen. I think you and I both agree that's probably the best UNLV could hope to do.
Dude, you're getting a guy who's a veteran SEC coach. I mean, look what he brings to the table. Still, in terms, for my money, the best league in college football. And so to get that at UNLV, and listen, like you mentioned, the expectations are so much lower for him. We had talked about this opening earlier, and we were messing around about, about Ryan and whether or not they'd be interested in somebody like Ryan. But they don't expect a conference championship at UNLV. Making the conference title game was fine. And if you can knock off Boise State 1 year, you're out of there. This is a no-brainer. You'll have him for a couple of years because he'll overachieve it within the next couple of years. It won't take him long, and he'll be back at a big boy job. It makes a ton of sense. It's a great hire for UNLV. And like I said, this won't be for the long term. And here's the thing. UNLV's smart enough to recognize that. Like, you're not going to hold on to this guy forever. You catch the shine of the hiring, and then boom, he brings his veteran presence. Like I said, all you got to do is knock off Boise State 1 year, and look what Odom just proved.
Yep.
You don't even have to do that.
Yep.
And we know Odom's got a resume too, but so does Dan Mullen. And so make the conference championship game, and Mullen might be out of there. It's sweet for both sides. To be honest with you, I can't believe he's been out of it this long. With as good of a coach as I feel like he is.
Absolutely.
The great catch by UNLV. So this should be this, Brad. I'd be walking with my chest out today.
Yeah, I'm pumped. You and the alums are pumped.
Not to mention, I mean, you get a guy that you, I'm sure, loved at Mississippi State. So.
Yeah, exactly. Now the key is trying to keep that staff and that awesome offensive coordinator they've got. They've got a bowl game. So everybody, the alums are pumped, though.
Great.
There's no doubt about
it.
You know, that's a win. That's a big win.
Big win for sure.
Memphis would love to have Dan Mullen.
Losing his, what is that, Thursday night ESPN buddy or whatever?
Yeah, that sucks. ESPN was. He was actually good on TV, didn't y'all think?
They actually made a fun little tandem.
Yeah, it was a nice little duo on Thursdays. And they did those food contests during the week.
His excitement about college football was, sort of contagious.
Didn't he do a Memphis game once?
I'm sure.
Yeah, remember he glazed on the facilities? He's like, this might be the best and better than a lot of Power Fives.
Right,
that
was
whole thing.
Last year, Phil.
Yeah, I mean, he was glazing on
it. Well, you know what this also says? I mean, it's just obvious that if for whatever reason, Ryan Silverfield had taken another job, Dan Mullen would be the next coach at Memphis. Like, that's what that says to me. Like, he took UNLV. So,
maybe. Yeah. Maybe not. I don't think so.
I think, if that job was open, it's not. I think that would have been their first call.
He's too good for Memphis.
Oh, stop it. That's outrageous.
Now, if Memphis was serious about football, they'd get rid of Ryan.
UNLV football, you guys just showed up 2 weeks ago, and Dan Mullen's too good for Memphis?
He's too good for Memphis.
Dude, Memphis could buy you.
Nah.
Memphis football can buy
you. We got better casinos than y'all.
Stop it. I mean, I'm all about it, but we got to keep it rooted in reality here. UNLV football?
Let's go!
Irrelevant.
Again,
y'all want our coach?
They're pumped up.
We just can't act like UNLV football.
Let's go! UNLV!
You guys have, what, $300 in NIL?
Let's go!
Y'all couldn't play
Swift for $100,000? We got backups beyond backups, bro. We don't need it.
Look, what would my boy Vernon Maxwell say? Y'all broke as a roach.
Let's go! Let's go.
They play in Allegiant, though. They got that on us.
NFL. We also rent. We don't have to buy.
That's right. Anyway, that's one hire to speak of here in the coaching carousel. The other hire, before we get to the big one, because we talked about the big one, Rich Rodriguez at West Virginia. Ren Baker is the connection there. Obviously, former deputy athletic director here at Memphis. He hires Rich Rodriguez. Now, people probably won't remember this, or maybe they will.
Of course they will.
Rich Rodriguez, once upon a time, was going to be the next West Virginia coach way back when. And he changed his mind. He changed his mind, just a few, weeks or months after, he was, and then he changed.
Go ahead.
There was a mind changing at one point with Rich Rodriguez. I can't remember exactly what it was. Maybe it wasn't West Virginia.
I was going to say, 01 to 07, he was West Virginia's coach. This is a retread. You're bringing him back. Yes.
Yes.
But at some point you're saying he was going to go back again, or was that a different job?
Maybe I'm thinking of a different job.
He was West Virginia before he went to Michigan, where he ultimately failed.
Yes. But he is back at West Virginia, and
he's very successful there.
Yeah, very good there.
Get the Michigan job.
In the early 2000s. He's obviously, since the failure at Michigan, had to kind of build it back up, did it at Arizona, and then was at Jacksonville State for the last three seasons, where he won 9 games 3 years in a row. I don't know what the candidate list for West Virginia was necessarily, but you're seeing the retreads become popular again, right? Scott Frost back at UCF. Rich Rodriguez back at West Virginia,
and they're paying a significant enough amount, I think to Neil, what, like $9-10 million, they had to eat a lot of that, and so how much of that played a factor in terms of who you're looking at, what kind of net you had for the next guy, but what you look at it, and Ren doesn't have to do. I mean, history says Rich Rodriguez was good. He looks renewed in terms of the time at Jacksonville State. And yeah, man. I mean, it makes sense. I don't think this is a different job in the same way that UCF is a different job for Scott Frost than when he left.
That's true.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I have my doubt. Scott Frost has had really one good season.
I mean,
what we give him credit for was the turnaround. That first, it took him whatever that was, 5-6 wins, maybe less that first year, to then get to the 13-0, whatever it was. But it's one season. His whole coaching career basically comes down to, and so to go back to UCF, which is you're in a bigger league now. I'm not gonna say a big boy league, but it is still essentially it's a different job. To go back to the Rich conversation, I think he's gonna be just fine there, man. He knows the lay of the land. They'll be happy with Rich Rodriguez for what they need from him.
And again, he's one of theirs, so that plays very well at West Virginia.
But a different kind of retread there, I think, because he had shown at Jacksonville State, hey man, he's got some new juice.
Yep,
we'll see. Whereas Scott Frost coming off, pretty much being a failure, Nebraska.
Yes, that's true. I mean, I think that's a good call out, because it's not the same UCF he left.
Mm-mm.
It's a different caliber of competition. But anyway, Rich Rodriguez is the new coach. What is old is new again. Rich Rodriguez back at West Virginia. By the way, I saw Silverfield saying on radio, I don't know who he's on with, so I apologize, but that West Virginia's holding their NIL. That's why you haven't seen as many transfers or opt-outs in the bowl game, because West Virginia is withholding its NIL until after the bowl game.
Well, I wish that was a standard thing that everybody could do, or you just across the lay of the land.
Yeah,
that was the way of the land, I should say.
Yeah,
because it seems like you'd keep most of these guys. Now I was listening to ESPN talk about it, and they said for the most part, it seems like we're having guys opt in. That the spirit this year has been more
Jalen Milroe's plan
than opt out.
Cam Ward's
so
plan.
People feel great about it so far.
Yeah,
especially your bowl execs, obviously.
I like it. I like it a lot, man. It gives,
because we were doing, is it an epidemic? And is this there for a couple of years?
That's what we do, man. We always do the is it an epidemic. We did that when RJ Hampton.
I'm not just talking about us, but I'm talking about
the media,
the entire sports
media.
Yes. I'm sure we.
Well,
we took our shot as well.
When RJ Hampton went to New Zealand, everybody's like,
all the
good players are going to go to New Zealand.
Here's the new trend.
Literally, nobody has gone to New Zealand since. Just like this kid, AJ. DeBonsa. The folks they are not about to make BYU some destination. We don't need to sit here and act like
again, who do they have that's like a lottery pick this year?
They have a kid named Igor Demon.
That's up there, definite first rounder, likely lottery pick, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's making money.
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm not saying that, like, it can be
no, you're
a
right.
Good...
No, and I'm just saying they're not one of the elite teams this year. I was agreeing with
oh,
your point,
exactly.
Right? If they got a lottery pick this year, they're going to have one next year, and it doesn't necessarily going to push them to the top of college basketball.
I'm fighting this fight in this group chat with Gubbin
and all
those.
Arguing that?
Well, they're arguing about the money that he made, right? Did he get $5 million? Did he get $7 million? How's it being distributed? I'm like, you guys are sitting here arguing about this guy that's going to be a first-round exit next year at BYU, and he's going to declare for the draft, and it's going to be like it never happened. I mean, it's going to be a situation where we probably look back at it as only a negative ROI. You know what I'm saying? Like, BYU ain't going to make their money back on this kid. I'd be shocked if they do. I mean, $5 million? I mean, does their basketball program even make $5 million a year?
I mean, clearly they feel like they're in a place they can. They got that kid going 7.
Igor?
Yes.
Yeah,
in terms of top 100 prospects.
He's really good. He's really good.
Point guard, shooting guard.
The speculation is the Utah Jazz owner is the one who punted
that. Oh, I'm sure there is. Like, I'm sure that's what happened, that somebody had
one dude.
He's an alum.
That's all it takes.
And you know what? If you're an alum and you just decide, I want him to play for me, I don't care about their ROI, whatever. I mean, that's fine.
Again, they might be just fine with having a lottery pick every year, man, and packing the place to see him.
Yep.
You know?
I mean, it's not a terrible idea.
It's not a terrible existence whatsoever.
But, you know, you still got to be, to me, you're either a religious freak or you're just weird in general if you go to BYU.
Good Lord.
There's some ego with that too, right? Because you can tell all your friends if you're a bazillionaire, you just go, you see that dude who's the lottery pick on the BYU?
Oh, no question.
That literally is my dude.
I got him here.
Yeah.
I got him
7-2 this year, right? It doesn't include it.
Ole Miss
beat him in overtime.
That was a great win too.
Man, he ended up winning by 11, but that game went to overtime.
Yes. Yes.
Not bad.
Yeah. BYU was up like 5 with like a minute left, and Ole Miss somehow found a way to get that to overtime. I was actually watching that one.
And then didn't have anything left, obviously.
Had nothing left. Nope.
Okay.
Had nothing left. So anyway, Rich Rodriguez back at West Virginia. And then finally, it is official, Bill Belichick is going to North Carolina. That deal finalized 5 years, $50 million for him, which puts him already top 5 in the sport of highest paid college football coaches. And it's amazing. I turned on ESPN today for. I just wanted to see what people are saying. I just wanted to see what the temperature was. And you would think that this is the surest thing that has ever happened in the history of the world watching ESPN. That there's just no way. Not only is there no way that Bill Belichick can fail, there's no way that this UNC team under Bill Belichick isn't winning a championship if you're watching ESPN. It's like they didn't even want to consider the alternative of maybe this guy is not built for college football. Even Feinbaum was saying he's not going to have to basically play by the same rules as every other college football coach, which might be true. But I think if I was going to go that route and get a former NFL coach that didn't have a market in the NFL, which he clearly did not, I would have gone with like a Gruden or a Pete Carroll that would have more juice, that would have more swag.
I could definitely see that Carroll. I'm assuming Gruden would bring that too. I mean, my gosh, those quarterback things he did were just all rah rah rah. This guy's great.
Yeah, and
but
plus he's done it before at a high level at USC.
Yeah.
I mean, Bill Belichick is purely hypothetical.
Well, I don't think his 400-page plan included that he necessarily needed to do that with everybody. The Lombardi guy he's bringing to the business side of things and everything else seems like he's going to try to run it like a NFL personnel department. And just stick to the coaching part.
Yeah.
I don't know. The vibe I got was that most of the NFL folks, the experts, I mean, that side of the media seem to still be a little bit miffed that there's not a team that would at least to kick the tires, see how willing he would be to let go of a little bit of control, because you're talking about maybe the greatest coach of all time.
Yep.
And so their whole point is he's that great, and of course he's going to be a success at North Carolina. I've seen a few. You mentioned Feinbaum being, you know, maybe pro. Yeah, it's going to work out and everything else. But I've seen a few college football folks, you know, that do. I mean, they realize it's just more than showing up and putting your name on it and thinking everything is going to go well. Especially, listen, after the initial push, like if you're not putting a product out there that's winning ball games and let's be real, meeting some now raised expectations because it's Bill Belichick.
Yep.
Look, just think about Deion. And how we raised the expectations everywhere he went, even to a place like Colorado that had done nothing. But when Deion was coaching there, we said, man, he better get that thing turned around. Which I, you know, what was it? 4 wins the first year. Oh, still got doubts. But the bar was raised. It will happen there too. Here's the point. That money's going to be there initially if you're not producing to that level, and he's dealing with teenagers. That's the difference here. You're not dealing with pros. If it's not great in the first couple of years, like I talked about yesterday, if you're not going to be in the room to rah-rah and fundraise and make people believe in you, then it's going to be hard to keep the momentum going. So back to the point, some of the college football folks seem to believe that's the other side of it. He's not he doesn't see yet.
Right.
But here's the other thing. You know, Bill's got a side of this, too. I saw, too, where you know, there's sort of politicking for him. A lot of people are saying he's burned too many bridges in the NFL. They've closed the door.
Could not be more
obvious. But I also saw, you know, from ESPN, I think it was ESPN, too, that had Bill's side. He's tired of the politics. And so now he's ready to go to college where his father was a coach, obviously, and he was around the college game. And so we're getting a little bit of both sides. Truth, obviously, somewhere in the middle. But I still, I'm like most NFL folks, I can't believe that some team, you know, even Davis, with the way he thinks, and you're having Tom, and you didn't entertain the thought of that. I just can't believe everybody's so ready to close the door. But maybe he did burn that many bridges, or maybe he's just that tired of it. Either way, I believe it's probably more the former than the latter.
Right.
But this is an amazing. Yep. It's an amazing hire because when you first heard it, you said no way.
Right.
North Carolina got it done.
Right.
Even though it sounds like you know this was their. What, third, fourth choice? I mean, they had guys say, no, I'm pulling my name out, some were all included. And so you get a, my gosh, look at it. You mentioned it. ESPN's talking about the whole thing. I mean, it's all over the news. For North Carolina, it's great. You know, how long can you keep that momentum going? Well, he's going to have to put the product out there now.
Yeah.
Brad could be right. I'm not ruling out that it could go well, as he said yesterday.
The sort of externals right now, you know, if in fact it does result in, you know, alums getting excited, boosters getting excited, investing in the program, you know, which, you know, I assume it will have that effect in the initial.
It won't be hard for him to get a guy or two, especially off top, and I'm sure there are more than that, that are just like, you know, the BYU, who'd you say it is? That's
owner of the Utah
the
Jazz.
Owner of the, you know, Bill's got connections. And so I'm sure people, at the very beginning here, he's going to have everything he wants from a resources standpoint, to Brad's point about money, money, money. And that's how you can grease this thing and make sure it works. Is you go out there and now all of a sudden you're turning. Bill's getting LSU guys, you know, and possible Alabama and Georgia guys are going to North Carolina because of this money train. You get it like that, it could work. It could work. Not ruling that out. I still think ultimately with what we know about Bill and what we know about college athletics today, I think you have to have concerns if you're not saying, oh, yeah, I'm not sure.
Yep.
Then I don't think we're paying close enough attention.
Yeah.
Just knowing both sides the way
it could work,
but that's what I think a key, and I'm glad you asked Brad yesterday because you and I initially there's a way it could work, and that initial pop at the beginning
might get him
the kind of players he needs with that money.
And I want to be clear, I think I lean in John's direction on this one, but I'd call it a coin flip.
Yeah,
I really would call I would literally call it a coin flip.
I'm a little bit more skeptical than all the NFL experts that seem to think he's just going to go down there and win championships right off the bat.
Yep.
I don't believe that. I think money can do ridiculous things.
He's
going to
get frustrated at some point coaching these kids, and when he comes down on them, some of them are going to quit.
Yeah.
They're going to quit.
They are. They're
These are not grown men.
No, they will. They'll walk out.
They're going to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, they're like, I'm done with this crap.
Because they can go anywhere and get paid
and
not have to deal with the, you know,
old school crap. I mean, Riddick, and I know it was the pros, but Riddick was talking this morning about how that man did not care about me. He said he cared about me between the lines, but off the field, my problems were my problems.
Damn.
That's right.
And he said that with Tina, his point was not to complain about Bill Belichick, but it was the point of, man, when you get these teenagers,
they need you to care about them.
So you better, it ain't going to be you better have a crew of folks. And then what's sort of the dynamic if they can't talk to the man?
Right.
If they don't get to talk to, you know, Nick Saban or whatever else, I'm sure at some point you could, if you were important enough, you could get in that door.
Right.
You know, Bill's going to have them open to some. And with his pros, man, maybe other than Tom and a few others, man, he didn't, you know, you just come to work. It's a little bit more than that with with college student athletes.
They got
problems.
He's going to need to have one of those therapy dogs.
Mental wellness advisor. You'll have a mental wellness advisor.
So he's got to watch, he's a fiery coach, man. Comes down on folks. Even the stubbornness, even turning your back on, like, hey, I'm cutting you off.
Mm.
That doesn't work with college. You don't get the best out of college kids that way. So I think he's, if he's not already, he knows he's going to have to rewire a little bit just in terms of the approach.
Well, I saw
it's a different audience.
It reminds me a little bit, and it reminds me a little bit of when Penny got the Memphis job, where people were like fantasizing beyond anything that was actually realistic. Like I remember hearing rumors about like Shaq was in town and potentially going to be on the staff, and we thought we had all these big, grand, fantastical ideas about what the program would be, and ultimately it's just another college basketball program, right? Like, Penny brought some juice. People got excited. People got back in the building for the first couple of years. But ultimately, and he did a good job recruiting. I'm just saying, I saw somebody tweet yesterday, Brady's going to invest in the. Do you understand that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick don't mess with each other?
That couldn't be more clear to me.
Like,
the fact that with this Raiders situation.
Yeah. Like, Tom Brady
not the final period on it, I don't know what is.
Maybe a booster for Bill Belichick in North Carolina. Maybe Michael got involved. I don't know. I mean, I could see it, maybe, because that's something Michael would do. I mean, $50 million is a hellacious investment. I mean, that's a lot of money for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he was making with the Patriots, but the man is a top five paid college football coach without having won a single college football game. That's amazing.
He's going to meet with Michael if he hadn't already.
But ultimately, here's what I think could happen.
That's your guy.
He wins 9 games a year. He competes for ACC championships. I don't necessarily think that they're a national title contender over the SEC programs. Like, I don't think they're better than Georgia. I don't think they're better than Texas. I don't think that, I don't think the order of things has changed. I think the ceiling is probably higher for North Carolina football than it's ever been, though.
You know, the other part for him we probably haven't discussed real quick before we get to Drew Hill is it's a chance for him to sort of rewrite his ending. He's been written off in a way by us as he was a great coach, but he had Tom Brady, and that's what put him over the top in terms of GOAT. And that's been the end of his story up until this point. And now that the NFL door seems closed, if he makes a college football playoff with North Carolina, this is, again, the chance for Bill Belichick to say, see, told you so. The old ball coach still knew what he was doing. He was still a good coach. And we can point to what we talked about earlier. More of his side was the politics of the NFL. And Bill showed him at the end. It's a different way to go out, is my point, in terms of his legacy, which is already, let's be real, cemented. But a different tone.
Yep.
For the end of the story,
Exactly.
If he goes your way there, 9 games, really, if he makes the college football playoff, come on. That's a great job at that North Carolina program. That'll be the height. And that's a new bar. And Bill Belichick can say, I did that. Look at the coach I am. And I adapted, right? And so that, it's a different tone to the end of the story, which he can have. And in a way, I'm kind of rooting for it.